Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. We are here on Ohio Exopolitics as well.
All right. I've got the server running in a commercial. I'm going to have to bring it in just a second.
Okay. And I think we have Cyrus.
Try to make it so it doesn't bring the music to you, you know, at the same time.
Okay. I think we've got Solaris on this end, too.
All right. We're going to have a little bit of music, but not much.
All right.
Oh, no, we hit it just right. Welcome back, folks. It's the Mad Painter, and we have Mark Snyder from Ohio Exopolitics, and we are now simulcasting, right, Mark?
Yes, sir. That's very true. Are you okay this morning, Painter?
Oh, yeah, just coughing a little bit. Of course, that's why I get guests on, so they can talk and I can sit back.
You can sit back and cough a little bit. Well, I have a clip, if it's a good time to play a clip. I didn't know what was going on your show before the break. If you guys were in the middle of something you wanted to finish, but...
We were just talking about what's going on and how they trick you and everything else and scare you with stuff, but you can go ahead and start with whatever you want there, Mark.
I'll start out with a clip, and this is a clip on a little country called Bangladesh, which is right next to India. Bangladesh has a population of 167 million, roughly, which is more people than are in Russia, by the way. And Bangladesh is about as big as the state of Iowa. And most people are struggling in Bangladesh to have clean water to drink. So let's listen to a little bit of this clip, and then I want to talk about this whole problem with clean water and what it's causing around the world.
Next, today is World Water Day. Tonight, we look at an innovative approach to getting clean water to slum dwellers in so-called megacities. Our story is another in our occasional reports about population issues around the globe. It's part of a collaboration with National Geographic Magazine and the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting, and comes from special correspondent Steve Sapienza in Bangladesh.
Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh, is one of the world's fastest-growing cities and one of the poorest. As in many other developing countries, people are leaving the countryside in search of work and a better life in the city. Dhaka's population, now estimated at 15 million, is expected to hit 20 million by 2025.
Dhaka is one of the megacities which is growing too fast.
Country director for the charity WaterAid, Dr. Khairul Islam, says the increased population density is severely taxing the city's ability to house and care for its people.
Almost 5,000 slums are in and around Dhaka city, and almost one-third of the population are living in either low-income communities and slum areas. Most of them don't have ownership over those pieces of land that they're residing. But the main challenge is provisioning essential services for this huge number of population, mainly water and sanitation.
With 2,000 newcomers daily, the struggle to find clean water in the slums often has life-threatening consequences.
Water? Yes, we have water, but the water is not always available. When water is available, it is often bad. Yesterday, a woman here thought she had cholera. She went to the hospital, but she died last night.
If you want to see the human toll exacted by unsafe water and poor sanitation in Dhaka, you come here. This is the overflow tent at the short stay unit at Dhaka's main cholera and diarrhea hospital.
Okay, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that my guest, Frosty...
Is that just in Bangladesh that is happening, Mark?
No, it's happening elsewhere. It's also happening in Liberia, and it's happening in the U.S. as well, but we're coping with it a little better, of course, than these third world countries. But that's a good question. Some of the things, you know, I had Frosty Wooldridge on last night, and he's saying there is a population problem in the world. And I know most of the people in the alternative community have rightly said that there's plenty of space on the earth. But I think the issue that we're dealing with here is not just a space issue. And let me give an example. There, in Antarctica, for example, there are 4.5 million square miles of space. But it's extremely cold. Generally, people don't want to live there. If you look at Australia, for example, it's about the size of the continental U.S., but like 85% of the center of that country is a desert. So they're having overcrowding issues, and their population is nowhere near as large as ours. So let me just throw some statistics out about some of the stuff that is happening in other nations that's probably coming to our nation if we don't do something about it. Go ahead.
Actually, what you're saying is population ain't the problem, it's concentration.
We could look at it that way. I don't care how we look at it. I mean, it can be population. See, we think of the Earth in the credible space on the Earth, which is right. There is 4.5 million square miles in Antarctica. There are millions and millions of square miles on the surface of our oceans, where theoretically people could live. But the way our system is now, people want to live where there is a moderate temperature and where there's fresh water. And that's also typically where our forests are. And when people move into these areas, they start to destroy our forests. And our forests moderate our climate. And that's why we're seeing all this bad weather, this extreme weather.
Weird weather.
yeah. So what we have is a whole set of interlinked problems. Population concentration, water shortages, air pollution, infant mortality, starvation-related diseases. Go ahead.
I believe this is what GMO first started out to do, is actually feed the world. And it's been taken over, like everything that's been good for the population of the world. It's been taken over by greed and profit.
Yeah, greed and profit is...
I mean, I do believe they started out with a noble cause at hand, and they got hijacked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been hijacked, that's for sure. I was talking to Frosty last night about... the new version of Roundup, it's something called Enlist, which it's, I don't know that much about it, but the atomic structure of it is somewhat similar to Agent Orange. And
speaking of Agent Orange, they've made that legitimate to use also.
Is that right?
That's right.
Can you elaborate?
I've got to tell you who was here with us, Mark. Laura Lee Solomon, Mona, Wally, and the Count is also sitting here.
I think we got Solaris on this end. Solaris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning, Solaris.
Hi there.
Welcome to the show. Solaris, did you want to chime in, or did someone... Laura, do you want to say something? Painter, you should direct traffic, not me. I'm sorry. This is your show, Painter.
No, it's our show at the moment.
All right.
Laura Lee, you want to finish what you were saying?
I'm looking for the link where I saw it, but they have recently... cleared them to use Agent Orange in agriculture.
Explain what Roundup is, Mark. I know you know the history a little bit of Roundup, don't you?
I don't actually probably know as much as Laura or as much as some of your other guests, but this is what I got so far. Monsanto's coming up with a new version of Roundup they call Enlist, which is based on the basic chemical structure of the Agent Orange that they used to defoliate plants in the Vietnam War. And I know a guy that died from Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam. Does anybody else know of anyone?
Well, the thing about Roundup is Roundup is almost the exact same thing Agent Orange is. They changed the molecular structure just a little bit, and they marketed it as a weed killer.
Well, the frightening thing, and I put out a link on an article that was in truthout.org on the approval of Agent Orange for GMO seeds because their own stuff isn't working for them anymore. The frightening thing about Agent Orange is that it causes genetic damage all on its own, and the people of Vietnam are still suffering from it.
True that.
So we must spread it on our own fields now.
I apologize. It just seems like...
No, that's the karma about it.
You know what I mean?
It's not just karma. It's like proven effective for the intended purpose, I guess. Genocide.
With a capital G.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect last night. It was good. I loved it. And I normally don't stay up that late, but it was well worth waiting and listening to your show.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
I couldn't do it. I know Chip. I used to produce for him. I've heard him speak a lot of times, and I know whatever y'all talked about must have been good. I'll have to check it out on the archives.
Yeah, excuse me. The sad thing is it's like it's so true. There's so much corruption, it's not even funny.
Was Chip getting into the corruption in our government, Solaris?
Oh yeah, you know the bottom line is I think all of us have really tried to do the right thing in life. We've always worked. All of us are good people. We don't do criminal things. And when you start diving into the presidents, and you start diving into the staff, and then you start diving into everybody who's involved in politics or any other military branch, it gets really disgusting and evil and corrupted. And these guys are hideous. I mean, they do insidious things, and they've done insidious things, and they have been presidents of our country. And to me, it's just like, what a mind blower, first of all. And secondly, it's like, you know, it makes you feel like it's hopeless, and I don't want to sound like gloom and doom, but after listening to him last night, I realized the reason things are happening the way they are is that everything has been strategically manipulated, you know. It's pathetic, and it's very disturbing, very, very disturbing. Right down to the people who are suffering right now from poverty, I mean, and water privatization and all this other stuff that's happening, you know, it's just crazy, so.
It's unreal, isn't it?
It's really
a nightmare.
It just
doesn't make no sense.
No, I really don't. I don't think we as star people need to be here anymore, quite honestly. And if I had my way, I'd be out on a wormhole somewhere because I can't stand it anymore. I literally cannot stand it anymore. This corruption is no good.
You know, I don't believe the human race has much time to make a stand. I mean, if we don't, we're going to go along the lines of the dinosaurs.
Well, yeah.
And the thing about it is we're the only species that is causing it to themselves.
Yep, mankind's done this one. Don't blame it on Satan. He's done the best job in the world of destroying this whole planet and the people on it. And yeah, I could go on and on about it. Obviously, I'm still on my first cup of coffee, but yeah, it's very, very disturbing. And like I said, you know, if you're
only one
to higher consciousness, yeah, I just started. But it's bad. I'm telling you, it's horrible, and it just gets uglier by the day. You know, the more I see it, and then of course I've been through the psychotronics and the covert technology with the synthetic telepathy, so I see the other aspects of it. I'm sick of everything, you guys. So, anyways, I'm going to give the show back to you, Mark. I don't want to like sit here and hog it, but it was disgusting. I mean, I love Chip. I love the work he's doing now, and so far as telling the truth. But man, it's like what a downer. I mean, a total downer. Listening to that,
you know.
But thank you,
Solaris.
I think there's people that's the reason there's people like us is to keep it balanced.
Well, you know what? I can't do anymore. I'm so exhausted energetically that I'm like I've just got to go to Antarctica or Iceland or something. I'm serious. I need a reboot. I can't be around this toxic stuff anymore.
Solaris, I was listening to your program last night, too, and I thought it was just fantastic. And my same thoughts that you have were going through my head, too. Why do we need to be here with all that going on?
I think we deserve better. Go ahead.
I just wanted to give you kudos because I thought the same thing listening to your show last night. And Dave and Maggie had a good show last night, too.
Mm-hmm.
So eyes are opening. Eyes are opening.
They
are. That's true enough.
And that's good
news. They definitely are. You know, it's just a slow process. It's like growing up. I mean, we're still learning to crawl. We ain't learned to walk, let alone run yet.
Yeah.
You know, a little thing here. I talked on Laura Lee's program about this. I was working in my orchard, and I had a lady pull into my driveway, and I watched her, and my driveway was the only one she pulled into, and she was running for circuit court. She was an attorney. And we had a nice conversation. I brought up a lot of things out of Black's Law, which she said she didn't know, but she did know that book was a dictionary. And basically my ending comments, I'm not going into the whole story, but my ending comments to her were that eyes are opening, and if you're running for circuit court, I hope you are the one to start changing the judicial system, because eyes are opening, people are understanding what's going on, and if they're not, you will be thrown under the bus also. And I also told her, please don't throw me on a no-fly list.
Wow. You told her that. That was great.
You listened to us. You're probably already on it.
Well, probably, but, you know, and I told her, and it was in a conversation just like we're having right now. Nothing heated. She didn't try. Of course, when I pulled across my driveway, I kind of blocked her in, and I said, you know, I'm not holding you here. You're more than welcome to leave at any time, but if you're running for judge, then eyes need to be opened. I mean, I even questioned her about the birth certificate, if she knew what birth meant. And she, of course, came and said, you know, birth of a child. I said, no. It's where you sleep, where you birth your ship. So she knew, but she was trying to get out of, you know, that conversation. But I felt good. And no, you know, just if she's running for circuit court and I says, you know, they're going to throw you under the bus. So, you know, my eyes are open.
I had an interesting discussion with some friends. We went to a vineyard last night and had a few glasses of wine and ate a little cheese and stuff. And there's a lot of fracking in Ohio, and we were talking about all the damage that fracking causes. And one thing it does is there's between 1 and 10 million gallons of fresh water that's turned into fracking fluid and polluted with like 300 toxic chemicals every time they frack one of these wells. And that's just, they can frack a well multiple times. And it's interesting that here we are destroying all of our fresh water, and that's one of our big, big problems, is our aquifers are, particularly in the middle of the country, are being depleted, which I think is...
What's left is polluted.
Well, right, they're being raped and molested, right. And what comes from the sky anymore, how clean is that?
That's a good point. Because that's what replenishes them is rain. You guys want to hear an interesting little clip on the coming global water crisis? I won't play it too long, but this one is very, very interesting. I think you'll find this interesting. Go for it.
Today, according to UNICEF, at least 2.6 billion people lack adequate sanitation, while 1.1 billion people live without clean drinking water, period. Water is the key component in all of our daily lives, no matter where we live. Not only for human use, but for energy, industry, agriculture, and livestock. Now, if you look at the Earth, you will notice that over 75% of our blue planet is water. The problem is, only 3% of that water is fresh water. Over 260 river basins are shared by two or more countries, and most of these rivers are without defined legal or institutional arrangements. Consider the Aral Sea, for example, located in Central Asia. The name Aral Sea is actually translated into Sea of Islands, referring to over 1,534 islands that once existed. Today, the Aral Sea is down to 10% of its original size. The same thing is happening in other areas that were once flourishing are now turning into desert. A report titled Avoiding Water Wars, Water Scarcity in Central Asia's Growing Importance for Stability in Afghanistan and Pakistan was recently done by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. In it, it focused on rising water tensions that could destabilize Central and South Asia. The implications of a water shortage has already caused aggravated demand for agriculture and power generation, according to the report. Water, without a doubt, is going to be a huge issue, along with oil, throughout this century. In the U.S., the world's largest body of fresh water, the Ogallala Aquifer, an underground lake that extends from the Colorado Rockies to South Dakota, going all the way down to the Texas Panhandle, with a range of 50 to 300 feet of depth. This water resource is what has made America's plains the breadbasket of the world. Unfortunately, like an oil well, this won't last forever. The Ogallala used to have an average depth of 240 feet. Today, its average depth is just 80 feet. Recently, a story done in Texas about a town named Happy, who has simply run out of water for its farms. What once was a booming town that relied on the Ogallala Aquifer has now seen its depths of underground water fall between 0 to 50 feet. Many wells are completely dry, and farmers have been forced to hand over their land to the government's Conservation Reserve Program in exchange for grants. The U.S.
Okay, let me go over this real quick, and then everyone can chime in. The Ogallala Aquifer is a shallow water table. It's located beneath the Great Plains of the United States. It's one of the world's largest aquifers. It's about 174,000 square miles. It covers six states: South Dakota, Nebraska, Wyoming, Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Texas. Its depletion is accelerating. Certain aquifer zones are now empty. These areas will take over 6,000 years to replenish through naturally occurring rainfall. The Ogallala has an average depth of 240 feet, but today it's down to about 80 feet. And they talked about that Texas called Happy. So that's one of the big problems we're facing, is the depletion of our water. And one of the arguments that Frosty
Well, that's all right. We'll just sell China Lake Superior and get our money back.
Yeah. God, it's insane. He said that we need to stop the immigration because we can't afford to have more people here using more water. Go ahead, guys.
Mark, as soon as they figure out how bad it is here, they will turn tail and run home.
Well, you got people like that own Nestle's that own one-third of the world's water rights. Nobody should be able to own water rights under your property.
Right.
Didn't they already do that? They came across the border, but then they went back.
Actually, are we talking about Mexicans or what? Who
yeah.
went back?
The ones that weren't sick or aren't terrorists. They went back.
All the money that they just send it back, and then they go back too. And then when times are hard here, which they are now, they just leave.
Well, what gets me is they come to this country. You're talking about illegal aliens. They come to this country running from their own country, and yet we want to assimilate them into our country when they wouldn't stand up and fight for their own country?
Right. You hit on it, Painter. That's correct. Very good point. Well, according to the statistics Frosty was talking about last night, that America will add 100 million people.
Well, but that was a hell of a jump from water rights, wasn't it?
Well, I think it's all interlinked, because the United States, if just the people that are currently in the nation, our birth rate is fine. We're about at an equal population where we wouldn't get any bigger if it wasn't for the immigration. But we will add 100 million people by 2035 because of immigration. And currently, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, California don't even have enough water for their residents. And here's the thing. The largest user of water is agriculture. So that means we won't be able to feed these people. So we need to get a handle on immigration. We need to stop this immigration. At least that's what Frosty's saying. What do you think, Solaris?
Well, you know, I think they breed like cockroaches, to be honest. I think that there's no protocol when it comes down to having children. And this was addressed last night on your show, by the way. So literally, I mean, you know, 1 to 2 kids, I can understand that, but these people come over with litters of children, litters of kids, and it's ridiculous. It's totally out of control. And, of course, he was saying that the educated people usually have less children, and, that's really the bottom line, like it or not. People who are more educated tend to have less children, at least nowadays. In the old days, you know, they had bigger families. But, yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's recklessness. And, of course, the water thing, you know, being out here in Colorado, we have our own well. But still, you should be able to own those mineral rights, and you should own your own water rights. So, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I think people who purchase land should definitely look into that insofar as who owns the mineral rights to their property, because that's huge.
Should be your land.
Should be, but it's not being treated that way, unfortunately. Here in America, I mean, but it gets
you could keep the dirt. They just want everything that's worth a profit.
Well, the bottom line is the corporations own everything, whether people realize it or not. It's this corrupt cabal, and all these organizations are really the ones running the show behind the scenes, and it's showing its ugly face right now. It really is, and the people are along for the ride, right down to these, you know, illnesses and everything else. Look how many kids have been getting sick with these children that are crossing over the border. We've got respiratory problems now with all sorts of infections that are going on.
Yeah.
So, pretty ugly. Well,
I think a lot of that's coming from this guy, too, though, also, and or.
Hawk just sent me a freelance NBC news cameraman who was diagnosed in Libya with Ebola virus, will leave the country Sunday, headed to the United States for treatment at an Omaha hospital. The Nebraska Medical Center said, whatever his name is due to depart Libya on a specially equipped airplane at 7:15 Eastern Standard Time. And then he said an American patient who was being treated for Ebola in Nebraska and then released is now in isolation in a hospital in Miguisuki. Hell, I don't know what name of it is. But anyways, they're letting them go and then they're putting them back in. I mean, that's a good way to spread it.
Yeah, I really wonder if they're letting it spread on purpose.
Yeah, they're doing it on purpose.
I agree with that. Do they have Obamacare?
I don't think it's covered. Might be a co-payment, though.
That's great. I have an Ebola clip if you guys want to hear part of this. Pretty interesting, I thought.
Is it the zombie one?
No, it's not zombies, but it's pretty close. I'll play.
The Ebola outbreak is raging throughout West Africa now. For the first time, a case of Ebola made its way back to the United States without anyone catching it first. The patient is currently under a quarantine in a Dallas hospital, and the CDC is reacting to the news. For more information on the threat of Ebola, we're turning to Mike Adams. He's a regular here on the program. He's also got a new website out called biodefense.com, which gives practical tips to hygiene and to protect yourself from Ebola. Mike, thanks for joining us. The Daily Mail is now just releasing information that up to 12 people could in fact be infected with Ebola, including 5 children. It was revealed today as U.S. health officials are scrambling to contain the deadly virus following first diagnosis on U.S. soil. Just before we went to air, you mentioned that the timeline now could, in fact, be that this person caught the Ebola virus in the airplane. Could you elaborate?
Yes. Thanks, Gary, for inviting me to your show. We don't know really the origins of the infection for this individual who's in Dallas. We don't even know his name. The government hasn't released much information. But the timeline of him beginning to show symptoms really lines up with the possibility that he may have contracted the infection on the airplane as he was traveling, which means there could be another patient zero who has already spread the infection to other people, and that patient may be running around somewhere in the United States, yet undiagnosed. They might be in a hospital right now under care for a severe flu or something. Keep in mind that the hospital at first did not know that this individual had Ebola. They sent him back home with antibiotics, which are useless against Ebola. They allowed him to potentially infect other people for 10 days in the Dallas area. And the important point of this, Gary, is that the United States government, which keeps telling us that we have nothing to worry about, that they have everything under control, has now been clearly proven wrong. They don't have this under control. It's out of control, and it has now crossed the Atlantic Ocean and is now in America, spreading among potentially many people.
Now, Mike,
okay, I'll let anybody that wants to comment jump in here. Thoughts on Ebola?
I think it's the car industry trying to spread all this information so you drive instead of fly.
Okay. That's an interesting theory.
Painter, I'm actually thinking of that. I'm not going to fly anymore. I'm actually going to drive, whether it takes me 1 or 2 days. Although, then I would get to a motel. And then the motel would probably have crap in it, too.
Well, I was just joking, Cal.
They do have this patient's name, and he has turned critical. In fact, he's in pretty rough shape. The guy in Dallas.
You know, I don't know if
Thomas
you guys know.
Thomas Eric Duncan.
Laura, but you know, when Ebola gets in your body, you actually bleed to death internally. Is my understanding?
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
You bleed out every orifice of your body.
God. I watched
a
clip.
Okay, that doesn't make me feel any better.
That won't make you feel better. I watched a clip.
But what I was told or what I've heard health-wise on that, like the big flu that got the people way back when, where thousands and thousands and thousands died, because they were given aspirin, which makes the body bleed. And so if it feeds off the aspirin for the virus, I mean, I don't know how much you want to enjoy Tylenol or anything else like that.
You're talking about the Spanish flu, right?
It's probable.
The one that wiped out like 200 million people right around World War II or World War I.
Right. And what they
see, pandemics do happen.
Right.
But this one here is being orchestrated like a bad play.
Right. But I'm just suggesting don't take things that would make it easier upon loosening a big agenda of your blood. You know, like the people that are inhuman, and I really feel for that, because that's almost, besides a rat poison, is going to make them more susceptible.
But even...
Right. Sorry. The mass is weaker, so then those will be the ones who go in bigger flow.
But even like when you have Medicare, right? Medicare, you can go to the hospital for something stupid like a cold, and they'll keep you there for as long as Medicare pays for it. Medicare pays for it for, like, I think about 20 days.
Well, this sounds like a weapon to bring our economy down, doesn't it?
What economy?
There's a better one. But after like 21 days, that's the Ebola virus's incubation period. So
nothing like a nice, just quiet, calm Sunday afternoon talk, is there?
You know what's coming next?
Amen.
I just seen what Laura Lee posted in here, and we know that someone is going to die from Ebola just so they can make the scare go. They're going to let one of these people pass so they can give more power to the Ebola, even though, you know, there is cures out there for it. But, you know, they've got to let someone die to get people to believe this false flag.
I have a person that like to come on to talk about Ebola, my friend Kosal, who has, well, I'll just let him speak for himself. I don't know that I can adequately describe his source of this information.
He's not speaking for himself.
Okay, well, let's go. Hello, Kosal. You're on the air, buddy.
There you go.
Hey, how you doing, everyone? From the land of Ebola, Dallas, Texas.
Oh, cool.
So you seeing zombies running around yet?
Say it again.
Are there zombies? Ebola.
There are three Ebola patients in Africa who were pronounced dead and then came back to life. But, you know, they don't have a really tight way to diagnose death there. They don't have the technologies that we do to look at brain waves and all that. So people who are pretty much comatose get declared dead and taken out and buried. These folks woke up in time. They're not really zombies. But people are saying that.
Well, you know, all you've got some
information—it's a case, like, you know.
Get him, boy!
You're
get
right.
him.
Is that
and
your dog?
Right, dead. Every culture define death is differently. Some define it as a rebirth, you know, and some define it as a transformation. So every culture has their own way. But as for zombie wise, well, pretty much you and I are zombies. We watch TV all the time, don't we? And watch TV, say, let's go get a Big Mac. It's only 99 cents. People go to McDonald's and make themselves. All like the Ebola. So pretty much in a way. But you're talking about people being reanimated from death. That is normal. In every culture, sometimes people can die for 2-3 days as long as you don't bombardment them. And sometimes they do come back to life. Because it's not their time, because of consciousness.
Near-death
so
experiences.
No, not near-death experience. These people are brain dead. There's no heart movement. They're gone. For some reason, 7 or 10 days later, since their body going through a ritual, meaning they're not cremated or embalmed, so and then there is somehow consciousness able to transfer back into them for a reason that they understood, you know, the people from other plane understood, and therefore the body get reanimated. This is not uncommon. It has been heard throughout both Asian and African, and also European country. But it's not popular though. But it has been heard talk about.
Well, the Romanians definitely. I mean, that's where the saying "a dead ringer" comes from, because they used to tie a string to the corpse's hand, run through a hole, and it had hooked to a bell, and if they become animated again, they could ring the bell.
Yes, especially in the age of where, you know, when they do a bomb, it's called a bomb effluent into your body, where they don't do anything to your body yet, then you'll be okay. But if they do put a bomb effluent inside you, well, I don't think you can come back unless a virus has brought you back. But other than that, that's just the way the bow bounce for now.
Yeah, I just said that about the zombies just being funny. I know they're not running around Dallas. I was just, you know.
Yeah.
Have you seen any signs of anything unusual compared to normal there now?
Well, we need more exposure. And apparently, if my calculation is correct, this individual been exposed to an airborne version, although the doctors say it's not, because I know that it is. The reason is when Ebola starts out at a certain location, it takes time for it to become airborne. But it has spread away, and it has been 2 or 3 months exposure in that particular West African country. As you can see, it's not about sanitation. That thing has been exposed to someone who has the flu or been sick, and that mutation was transferred into Ebola. And therefore, it's become airborne somewhat. And the later version, where this guy, Thomas Eric Duncan, received, it's not a what we call a biological prime version. He's he received several generations version of it later. So that means, from my understanding, it is an airborne version to some people, to others maybe not.
Well, we know bacteria and viruses can evolve very fast.
Exactly.
Way faster than we can, because there's generations after generations in just a few minutes.
Absolutely. And they can adapt to their environment, just like any virus, like a software antibiotic virus. They behave the same way. From my source, I asked my organic quantum computer, Bottom A, and I asked it, is this thing airborne? I need to know yes or no, and it tell me overall yes it is. But to some people, the exposure rate is slower, but to others, it's quicker. So because everyone has different genetic body types.
Well, they knew it was airborne the moment the people who were treating the victims who were in quarantine, who were experts at this, was still catching it. I mean, that's a dead giveaway right there.
Absolutely. And this guy being exposed to that variant. Funny thing about viruses, they are very adaptable to the environment, and they are survivors. And their sole purpose is to replicate. That's what they do. And the bleeding on the inside deal, that is hardcore stuff.
yeah.
I don't want any of us to catch it. Now, talking about resurrection from the dead, well, some of us has different genetic code, and most people that do expose to this, they will die. But there's few people who their body go into what we call metamorphosis state. That means their body shut down, look like they dead, but it's fighting the virus in their own way because of their genetic heritage. So when they do overcome it, they look like they are zombies rising from the dead. And if it's so, well, they pretty much have conquered the virus. But they're also contagious.
I have another clip here on Ebola I think you might find interesting. I'll just mute you for a second there, Kosol, and I'll play a little bit of this clip.
They say that people refuse, saying there is no space, there is no bed. So they come back in the community, it's dangerous for us.
And that's how it spreads further, because now they're back.
We are prepared to sacrifice and to do the service for the Liberian people.
20 cases yesterday, 40 cases today, and you know that tomorrow is going to be 70. These are real people with real stories and real lives.
Ebola is a deadly disease. You must understand it.
Ebola, an infectious disease that spreads through contact with bodily fluids, including saliva and sweat, has an extremely high fatality rate and is currently wreaking havoc in West Africa. The recent outbreak, which is the largest of all time, really took hold in March of 2014 in Guinea. It quickly spread to Liberia and Sierra Leone, with cases also found in Senegal, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Nigeria.
As we gather here today, the people of Liberia are in crisis. The Ebola virus is spreading at alarming speed. This epidemic could kill hundreds of thousands of people in the coming months.
Right as U.S. President Barack Obama announced that he would be sending American troops to help combat the epidemic, Vice News headed to Monrovia, the capital of Liberia, to document the fight against the disease. With around 3,000 confirmed cases of infection, and nearly half of those cases having become fatal, Liberia is now the center point of the epidemic.
What we're taking up here right now is the first line of defense against Ebola, which is chlorine.
So besides washing your hands, this right here, this is key. And you'll see people walking around with spray buckets, with just like little satchels or little canisters on their belt.
We first headed to Redemption Hospital, which has become ground zero for Ebola cases in the city. Many potential cases are sent there first, and the hospital is overflowing and lacking the proper infrastructure to treat them.
How to manage? How to be able to continue? Wherein you find deaths all over. It is beyond our capability, beyond our understanding. This is the reason why everyone is confused.
As soon as we arrived, we saw desperate people outside trying to get treatment.
I'm sorry, sir. Are you okay?
He went in a latrine. That was him.
So he has the virus?
Yes.
So why can't we get him inside right now?
I'm going to the CIA, but I can find a way.
Okay.
Get me in this.
Is there space?
Anyway, later on in that clip, they explain that a lot of people in Liberia are living in very, very filthy conditions, and they show this water everywhere and filth and dirty water, and these people, they eat bats and monkeys, which both bats and monkeys carry this disease. I think, Solaris, I think you saw this clip, didn't you? Are you there, Solaris? She may not be here
Obama.
Right now. Yeah.
Obama.
We got a...
Oh, boy. Oh, the scientist,
what?
The doctor, the god, Obama. Really?
What do you
we
think?
We lost Brad. It's not letting me call it back.
That's weird.
I have to hang up and call y'all.
You gonna call us all back?
Did the same thing. Mark, we're here.
I'm here.
Now we could be paying to listen to that thing.
We're all in an elevator.
I don't know, but if you don't answer it real quick, I'm going to hang it back up. That's what I mean.
Yes, it's kind of.
I want menswear. Where Michelle buys her clothes. Oh, wait a minute. That would be the woman.
Ha. Good God. Now you can see why we do Revolution Radio.
Yeah, that's really annoying.
People donate.
They must hear me. I got some friends over. I was just talking to them about the radio. We're listening to it as I'm talking.